Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be going through the first 17 verses of this chapter, dealing with injustice. We pretty much wrapped that up yesterday. We'll go over a short review of dealing with injustice. Apparently, the vast majority of you have dealt with injustice from time to time because I've got a lot of feedback about the injustice lessons that we've had. And glory to God, the Lord can overcome that injustice. And I'm telling you, the Lord puts those in our path sometimes to make us stronger. As much as we hate to admit that, there's things that we go through in our Christian lives that make us stronger. And then sometimes if we'd realize that, I think it would make our Christian walk a little bit sweeter. How many would like to have a little bit sweeter Christian walk? Hey, you can say amen this morning. I know it's early, but you can say amen this morning. You really can. But we're going to start out. We're just going to do a short review, and then we're going to talk about another N word called insecurity. And we're going to deal with living in an imperfect world and dealing with your insecurity. The vast majority of you, I'm sure, are completely solid in who you are and completely solid in what you believe, and you're completely solid in where you've come from and completely solid on where you're going, and you have no insecurities whatsoever. For those of you that live in that world, this is not for you. Unfortunately, I do not live in your world. I live in a world where I am insecure about things. And if you really get into your life, you'll start to realize, you know what, I guess I'm a little insecure about some things as well. And that's all right, because we are human and we are allowed to be frail because we are frail. And if you realize that, I think that too would make your Christian walk a little bit sweeter. So let's start out with a word of prayer. We're going to read out of Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll get a little bit into this overcoming insecurity. So let's have Brother Mark, would you stand up and lead us in prayer this morning, please?
Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Father, for your precious word we're about to delve into. I pray, Father, you open our minds and our hearts now. Help us to receive it, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak to each one in here, Lord. Save your lost. I pray, God, for the sinner, Lord, the lost one, that he can be saved before this day.
Yes.
And for us, Lord, that are your children, I pray, God, that Father, Holy Spirit, you would just use this lesson now. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Very excited about yesterday as well. I wanted to tell you about that. We had about 20 folks come out for soul winning. What a tremendous time. We came out to the neighborhood over there on Diamond across the street from the Anavar Estates, and we hit every single house that's in that neighborhood. Boy, we riled some folks up. It was a lot of fun. But you got to understand, it was great that we got every single door in there, got a packet, talked to a lot of folks as well, some not interested, some maybe a little bit interested. But we did that all in a very short period of time. I urge you to come out for soul winning if you get the opportunity to do so. If you say, well, Brother Dave, I can't go out on Saturday, but I could go out during the week time, please give me a call. I'd love to go out soul winning with you. I'll go knock on some doors with you and talk to some folks if you'd like to do that. If you have some time during the week and you feel the need to do that, please let me know and I'd love to go out with you. But man, we're excited. Hey, listen, we've got something to tell folks. And I'm going to be honest with you, in this day and age, there's not a very many churches out there telling the truth anymore. So if we hold on to it and we don't use it, what is the truth then? It's of none effect to folks if they don't hear it. Everybody's got their idea of what religion is and what the idea of Christ is, but I've got to be honest with you, the only truth you're going to find about it is in the Scripture, and if we don't bring the Scripture to folks, how are they going to get it? Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Dave. I appreciate that. Just to wrap up, responding to injustice, you can write these down if you want to. I've never been much on taking notes, but if you're wanting to write these down, responding to injustice, just to kind of go over real quickly, and then we'll read out of Hebrews chapter 12. When you have an injustice done to you and you're going to respond to this injustice, the first thing you've got to recognize is your responsibility as a Christian and how you handle the injustice. Responsibility as a Christian is something that we have forgotten about over the years. We've forgotten about it in the generation that I have come from. Responsibility is something, almost a dirty word anymore. If you do something wrong, you're responsible. If you're a saved person, how many can say amen that you're saved today? That was exciting. Boy, I can't wait to get you to heaven. Good night in the morning. If you're saved in here, say amen this morning. Amen. Glory to God. We are awake now. Amen. It's a responsibility as a Christian. You can't handle things like the world. Now hold on a minute. You can't handle things like the world. I didn't say you wouldn't slip up. I didn't say you wouldn't mess up, but you got a responsibility. You got a response, and you can't shirk the responsibility. I hope the people in your workplace know you're a Christian. I hope the people around you know you're a Christian. And I hope that when injustice comes, and if it never has, it will. And if you're in the middle of it, grab a hold of it. And realize you got a responsibility as a Christian to understand that Christ may have put this in your path to strengthen you. He may have put this in your path, listen to me now, He may have put this in your path to show others that it's okay to be a Christian in this imperfect world. Do you realize that not everybody knows that? Did you realize that not everybody is aware of the fact that it's okay to be a Christian in this imperfect world? They don't realize that they've got a great responsibility as a Christian to recognize that an insecurity has come. And this next one, you refuse to retaliate. Oh, that's tough. Well, we wrapped that up. Yeah, that's tough. It, refusing to retaliate is very difficult. I've dealt people injustices throughout 16, almost 17 years I've been in the ministry. I have dealt a lot of injustices. If you'd be honest, you have too. But the thing is, I've been glad over the years that not everybody has decided to retaliate against the injustices that I've given them. Not everybody. It's amazing that if you refuse to retaliate, you can repair the relationship. Ooh, that was good. That's a lot of R words in there. I didn't even plan that. If you refuse to retaliate to the injustice, you can repair the relationship with the person who dealt you the injustice. But if you retaliate, you might as well forget the relationship. Because you're trying to deal, and by the way, it almost is never a recompense. It's almost never a meat recompense. It's almost always you got to do more hurt than they did to you. You think, and you'll sit there, and by the way, a lot of times the injustices that are dealt us are not something that were meant to be dealt in the first place. They did not realize they were dealing injustice. They didn't realize that they were doing wrong. And yet we cannot wait to retaliate as Christians. I've retaliated. And you have too. You've sat there and mulled and pre-thought and premeditated your murder on a person's character. You've premeditated your next murder on their Christian walk because, well, they dealt me this injustice. How can they be a Christian? How can you be a Christian and still deal injustice? How can you be a Christian and have those thoughts? I understand we all have those thoughts. I understand that that flesh is still in us. We battle that flesh our entire life. Christ doesn't take away the flesh from you. He coincides with you in that flesh. And that flesh is never going to go away until you get to heaven. You got to battle that. You got to battle to realize that you're a Christian. You got to recognize that you're a Christian. You got to refuse to retaliate when those injustices come. Look at Joseph. We looked at him in depth. Joseph, throughout his entire life, refused to retaliate. Injustice after injustice and after injustice came to him, and he refused. He refused to retaliate, and the Lord blessed him the whole time. Now, that does not mean, with that being said, that God is going to bless you like He blessed Joseph because you refuse to retaliate. The Lord does things as the Lord wants to do them. Can I tell you that again? The Lord does things as the Lord wants to do them. You've got to realize that the Lord is doing what He wants to do. And you've got to let the Lord have control of your life. Difficult to realize that you have a responsibility as a Christian, and that responsibility is refusing to retaliate. The third thing, remember God's sovereignty. Look at Genesis chapter 50 real quick. I just want to show you this verse again. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 and 21, Joseph says to his brothers, after his dad dies, the brothers are afraid now that dad's died that Joseph is going to take retribution against them. But Joseph realized that he was a Christian. Help me. Joseph realized he was a Christian. Joseph refused to retaliate because he had a great responsibility. And because he refused to retaliate, What happened to the relationship? The relationship was repaired. Think about that. What a great example. The relationship is repaired. Look what it says. He realized God was sovereign, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. The brothers did. They wanted to throw him into the pit. They got rid of this dreamer. We're sick and tired of your coat of many colors. We're sick and tired of you telling us that we're someday going to bow to you. Well, they all did, by the way. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. The relationship was repaired. He realized, being Joseph, that he had a responsibility as a Christian. He refused to retaliate. Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You don't own vengeance. Do you realize that, Christian? You don't own vengeance. You're not allowed to take it. It's God's. God owns it. Vengeance is mine. And then the last one, rely on God's faithfulness. Rely on God's faithfulness to take you through. This is one of the hardest things, and probably one of the most things that the thing that we fail in the most is relying on God's faithfulness. Relying on God that He will bring you through what you're in right now. Relying on God to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't understand why I'm in financial straits. I don't understand why I'm having a hard time finding a job. I don't understand why I'm in these things. But God, I realize that you are God. And I realize that I am your child. And I realize, Lord, that you're going to take care of me. I realize and recognize that you are on the throne. You are sovereign. You are all powerful. I'm going to trust in you. I know that's hard. And I know that's much easier said than done. There's been many times in my life when I've failed to see what God is doing through me. I've failed to see what God has got in store for me. I've failed to see what God could possibly be thinking when he was doing some of those things. But you've got to understand, his thoughts are above your thoughts. His ways are above your ways. You may not have a handle on what God's doing, but you got to trust him. You've got to trust him. Injustices will come. Well, I lost my job because somebody lied about me. Injustices will come. Well, you don't understand. That preacher didn't take time with me. Injustices will come. Well, you don't understand. I'm a good singer and Brother Mark won't put me on the list. Injustices will come. And let me tell you something. Don't make light. A lot of times I get to counsel with folks and they talk. Don't take light the injustices that happen to somebody else. You may look at that and say, well, that's nothing. Hey, listen, injustices are important to everybody. What is happening to you is big to you. The injustice that happened, and it may be something very simple. Brother Dave didn't shake my hand today, so I'm going to leave the church. Hey, listen, you laugh. But that has happened. That has happened lots of times with, well, the preacher didn't say hi to me this morning, so I'm going to hightail it out of here then. But apparently this is not a friendly church. That has happened. Injustices do come. And we desire to get to every single person. We desire to shake your hand every morning. But don't you dare let the devil get in between you and a church. I just had a fellow tell me the other day. I'm looking for a church, brother. And I told him, you should have never left this one. Come on now. This is where God brought you. I love to hear people talk. Well, I just can't seem to find a church like Bethel. Dummy, that's because you're supposed to be at Bethel. Well, you don't understand. Brother Dave did this. Brother Dave does a lot of things to a lot of people. Live with the injustice. We are humans. That's what amazes me. Preachers all of a sudden become popish people. All of a sudden we're sinless. And if we make one mistake, oh, bless God, this church is full of hypocrites. I got to be honest with you. It is a church full of hypocrites. You are one. See, what's amazing is we are. I embrace it. I embrace the fact that we're sinners. A lot of folks don't do that. I'm a Christian. I ought not act that way. You are a Christian, and you ought not act that way, but we're all flesh. And yes, we are going to act that way. Sometimes that's no excuse. That's not an excuse for your actions. It's not, well, I'm a sinner, so I'm just going to go out to the bar and drink. No excuse. You ought not do that. But the Lord is not going to say you're out of heaven for your sin. We as Christians are the only ones that eat our young and are wounded. Listen, we do. We're a mess. We ought to embrace that. We ought to realize that we're a mess. We ought to realize that as great as my friend Mike Freimeyer is, he is a sinner. I've never seen him do it, but he's a sinner. And you know what? He could do me an injustice someday. Never has, but he could. What kind of a friend or a Christian would I be if I said I no longer care for you? Come on now. You have to refuse to retaliate. You got to recognize that you are a Christian that has a responsibility to do that which is right. It is never wrong to do right, even though sometimes it feels better to contemplate being wrong. Feeling is not something you ought to act on. Feeling is not. If people in my past would have one chance to get in a boxing ring with me being in a straitjacket, there'd be a lot of folks that would line up for that day, let me tell you. But they recognized that they were Christians. And they recognized they ought not retaliate. They realized that God was sovereign and he had a different plan for their life. Would you be willing to let God take control of your life? In the midst of your injustice, in the midst of the hardest time. Here's what's funny. We as Christians expect God to take care of us in a way that we think we ought to be taken care of. That's where bitterness comes from. Because we are not getting something we believe we deserve to get. I deserve to have 10 acres and a mansion on a hilltop on this old earth. You deserve to go to hell. But Christ saved you. And someday we're going to get a mansion over the hilltop. But it ain't going to be today. Well, at least not for me. And unless I don't know you, I don't think anybody else in this room is getting one either. And if you are, I'd like to meet with you right after Sunday school. But you have to, four things, recognize your responsibility as a Christian, refuse to retaliate, remember God's sovereignty, and rely on God's faithfulness. That's how you deal with injustice. Now look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll give you a standing break. Let's all stand. I want to read one verse, and then we'll go through this chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to teach Sunday school. Lord, help me in my life. Lord, I need help in my life. I'm teaching this, Lord, but it's bouncing right off the wall and coming to me. I need this, Lord. Help me. Help me to realize that I'm a Christian. I've got a great responsibility. Lord, help me to rely on you. Help me to realize that I'm living in an imperfect world and I have to handle injustice correctly. Lord, help me. Help me to not deal in injustice. Lord, help me to try to be fair at all times and try to live as a Christian should. Lord, help us all. Help us all to realize that we have a great responsibility here to tell folks of you. Lord, be with us today in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you know anything about Hebrews chapter 11, you realize that that's the hall of faith. It goes through person after person after person after person by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, over and over and over again, by faith, by faith, by faith. I would to God we'd have by faith. I would to God we'd have faith in what God has told us. I would to God we'd have faith in what we're supposed to do. I would to God we'd realize that Christ has a great responsibility of keeping his promises, and Christ has never slack concerning those promises. Because of this, I would to God we'd have great faith. I would to God we'd realize that we have a God that's stronger than any other God. I would to God that we'd realize that we had a faith in an Almighty that is going to keep you eternally secure. Forever. No matter how much injustice you deal, no matter how many things you do, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. I'll give you a side note here, and this is something I always caution people to be very careful. Well, you should know, a lot of people hang on this. Well, you should know them by their fruits, and if you don't have any fruits, then you are not saved. Be very careful. You don't know the heart of a man. You are not permitted to look inside. Be very careful that you don't throw somebody out as an unsaved person when you really don't know. You really have no idea what they've done in their life. You have no idea if they've met Christ. You have no idea what they've gone through. You have no idea if they've had a soul winner come to them and lead them to Christ. I'll give you a perfect example. At 11 years old, I went to Lighthouse Baptist Church on Galena Street. I heard a man talk about hell. Don't ever be afraid to talk about hell to an 11-year-old. He told me about hell, and I had to get saved. His name was Ron Brown. Looked a lot like Mike Porter. I went down in front of an old green register. No, just kidding. It was a register. I don't know what color it was. I got on my knees, and I asked the Lord to save me that day. And right after he saved me, glory to God, I joined church, and I started preaching, and I did everything in Sunday school, and I took up the offering, and I prayed, and I held out faithful. No. The next day, I was back home. I led a wicked life. Wicked life. Disobedient to parents. Drunkard. You gotta listen to me. My salvation, Brother Cotiver, never went away. My salvation never went away. But I'm guaranteeing you there was folks that didn't know I was saved. But that didn't mean I wasn't saved. Hey, listen, you do not have the opportunity. You're supposed to warn people. You don't go out to people and say, well, you must not be saved, you dirty rotten sinner. Because you're a dirty rotten sinner too. And I realize that we ought not do some things. I realize that, but listen to me. We ought to have compassion. Making a difference. Because if you don't have compassion for folks, they may be saved and never lead a life for Christ. But I had people that had compassion for me. A friend of mine named Barry one day came to me and said, hey man, you need to go to church. And he says, you need to be saved. And I said, I am saved. He said, well, you certainly don't look like it. He had compassion for me, realizing that I needed something. I would to God we'd treat people as such. Yeah. See, what's funny about that, Brother Mike Sells, God sent his only begotten son to die for me. What are we willing to do for a hurting Christian? Well, that's interesting, isn't it? How far are we willing to try to nurse them back to health? How willing are we to fulfill what the Bible says, ye stronger Christians, help the weaker? How quick are we to help them? You don't bring a sledgehammer to the operating room. You don't bring an axe to the operating room. I wouldn't mind bringing a sword, though. And realize before you go in to do your operation that it's not your ability. It's Christ's ability. Hebrews 12, verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, after all this faith that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, wherefore? After all the mentioning of all these great men and ladies, wherefore? After all these things that Christ mentions to us, wherefore? Because all these people gave all that they had, and there's not enough room in the whole Bible to list all the faith that these people have had throughout all the years. Then it comes to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and says, wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hey, listen to me. There have been people that have paid the price long before we have. How different ought we to be? We ought to be willing to pay some sort of price. We ought to be willing to pay some sort of price, Christian. Some sort of price. Let us lay aside every weight. I thought about this for a minute. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, a lot of people couple those right together and say, well, just wait and sin. It's all the same. It's not the same. See, there's a lot of, if it was the same, would Christ have made it different? Would he given it to us in a perfect Bible, by the way? A live Bible, lively oracles. Inspired, by the way. Do you think he would have said both things if he didn't mean both things? I firmly believe that every word in the scripture is there for a reason. And when it said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, we as Christians are easily beset. Weight, you would think, is a load. But you know, sometimes we as Christians, it may be a load, but we don't realize we're carrying it. Let me give you an example. What in your life as a Christian stops you from serving God? Think about this now. Think about this now. We think that the good things are okay. But if a good thing stops you from serving God, is it truly good? Ooh, that's good stuff, man. Woo, that's good stuff. I'll amen myself. Listen to me now. If something is keeping you from serving God, that's a weight that's easily besetting you. See, we got to understand something. We play with church. I'm glad you're quiet right now because you got to hear this. We play church. We play church. We play with what God has told us to do. In the thought process of saying, well, I am truly a Christian. Please see me as a Christian. I'm a preacher. You better see me as a preacher. There's times I play when I ought to be serving him, laying aside every weight, the things that stop. What stops me? I thought about that. What stops me from serving God? What stops you? The thing you got to, and you got to realize this is different in everybody's life. What stops you? Well, I got stopped, Brother Mike, because somebody at church hurt me. So I stopped serving God. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. Well, I was injured, and the Lord said, thou shalt not serve anymore. I don't see that anywhere. Remember we just went over injustice? That's why I went over that first. Hey, listen, we are not excused from God's service no matter what has happened in our life. No matter what. Well, I'm too old. Hogwash. Why? Why are you too old? We need the gray-headed people. Us youngers are dumb. Hey, we got nothing going on. We got no wisdom. You start to get gray, you start to get wisdom. I always talk about how I got no gray hair. I wish I had some. One of these days, wisdom's going to come in. Don't know when it's coming. But one of these days, it's going to come. I got to be honest with you. Why in the world do we think that we can get out of serving God? What in the world gives us the opportunity? Hey, wherefore? All these people serve God. All these people sold out. Wherefore? All these people have gone on ahead. All these people have paved the path. Wherefore? All these people have sold out their lives. They read their Bible. They go out soul winning. They pray every day. They care for your souls. They love you. They're good Christians. Wherefore? 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 See, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight. We are not permitted excuse from serving God. Oh, that's good. That gets me excited because I got to be honest with you. People paved the way for me. Moses paved the way for Dave Ballard. Think about that for a minute. Moses didn't do what he did just so we could tuck tail and run. Every time something comes up, well, we're in a fight for the Bible. And because we're in a fight for the Bible, people are going to leave the church. Bye! Because nobody's going to tell me that I don't have a perfect word of God. Amen. We think that because this is going on, well, I'm going to preach as hard as I can until one drop of resistance comes. Do you think Moses ever faced resistance? Good Lord, have mercy. You think David ever faced resistance? Look at the Psalms. He cried out to God all through them. Things come. They really do. What in the world are we doing as Christians? Let us run with patience. Because it's going to take patience to run your race. You're going to trip. You're going to get blisters. You're going to get tired. Everybody gets tired. If the race that we're running for God was easy, he would have picked the Catholics to do it. I'm just kidding. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Not only did he author, the author and finisher Not only did he author our faith, he finished our faith. Glory to God. Who for the joy that was set before him, is there enough joy in your life to serve God? Think about that for a minute. Do you have enough joy that is set before you? Is there joy in winning a soul for you? Is there joy in seeing more people come to church for you? Is there a joy in inviting people to come to church? Is there a joy handing out a tract? Is there joy in coming to Sunday school? Is there joy staying for every service? Is there joy in praying that your job will permit you to come to every service? Is there joy in your life enough to make you serve God? Is there joy enough? The joy that is set before you. Look at what Christ decided to do. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Oh, but he's Jesus. Yeah, I certainly would expect more from him. But I think that we ought to have something. I think we ought to have something. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, still making intercession for you and for me. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. I like that verse. Look at that again. For consider him, who's him? Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Good Lord, have mercy. He took all the sin of all the people of all the time, past, present, future, all the sin that was ever going to be, all the sin that ever was, all the sin that was going on at that time, took it in that cup and put it upon himself. Endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. Look at this now. Consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You ever told yourself something and after a while you told yourself enough that you started believing it? Think about that for a minute. You start telling yourself you're too old, guess what you're going to be? Too old. You start telling yourself you're too young to do anything for God. What's going to happen? You're too young. You can give yourself, and by the way, I should make a book list of the amount of excuses that I've given for not serving God. Well, you're a preacher. Yeah, I've made a lot of excuses for not serving God. My foot hurts. My headache is too bad. I've given excuse after excuse after excuse, but I'm going to be honest with you, not one of those excuses stands up before Christ. And he tells you here, he tells you, consider him, consider me here, consider what I've done for you, unless you be wearied in your minds. Because you are Christians, and you've got a responsibility to him. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Should we be surprised if we get chastened of God? He is our Father. We have gotten, look at this, what it says. I'll just read this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, if you don't get whooped around a little bit by God, get saved. Because you're not a son of God if you're not getting whooped up a little bit. Let's go on. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Oh, I revered my daddy. When he whooped my hind end, it wasn't too long I was looking to hug his neck. Oh, this is good right here. It wasn't too long and I was looking to hug his neck, but when God whips you, you can't wait to leave church. When God whips you, you can't wait to curse him. And by the way, your chastisement is between you and God, not between me and God. Now, the reason I say that is this. I don't dare want you to say, well, look at what's happened in their life. It must be God chastening them. I've heard that. I've had that said to me. My wife and I lost a child. Couldn't believe it. A Christian, supposedly a mature Christian, came to me and to my face said, well, what sin are you partaking in that made you lose that child? Now, listen to me. I wanted to anoint that person with a left cross in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But then, if you think about it, Christian, how many times have we had those same thoughts ourselves? Well, look at what's happening in their life. It must be the chastening of God. I got to be honest with you. If Brother Rod's getting chastened by God, that's between him and God, not between me and God.
Right. Right.
If we are getting chastened, that's something that we've got to deal with. I'll give you an example of that. My daddy usually would take me into my bedroom to whoop me. Why? Because it's none of everybody's business.
Right.
It's not anybody's business that I'm getting whooped. It's not anybody's business that I'm crying out, screaming bloody murder. It's not anybody else's business. It's between me and my dad. And you know, the chastening that you get from God is between you and God, not between anybody else. And by the way, some things that he'll chasten Brother Kataiver over, he won't chasten me over. We can't figure God out, can we? I thank God for that, because I am not very smart. And I would rather not know what God's going to do. I would rather think that, you know what, I don't know what's going on in everybody's life, but vast majority of the time it's stepping stones. Whether it be chastening, whether it be doing other things, it is all still stepping stones. If you're getting chastened by God, use it for good. Don't use it to run away. Don't use it to give excuse. Well, God's being too hard on me. Maybe he's got something great planned for you. Furthermore, verse 9, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, look at this now, he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Did you know that God let you in on that a little bit? His holiness? Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Amen. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I alluded to this before, how when my dad would whoop me, it wouldn't be long, I'd be looking to hug his neck and tell him I was sorry. That's righteousness. See, when the Lord chastens you, you need to realize that you're going in the wrong direction. He's chastening you. He's not going to chasten you when you're walking the straight and narrow, for goodness sake. You don't go beat your kid when they're good. Hey, Luke, come here, you brat, you cleaned your room. Crack, crack, crack. That's not what happens. You cleaned your room, glory to God. But if he goes the wrong path, that's when chastening comes. When you go the wrong path, that's when chastening comes. And at the time, it doesn't seem good, but it's for your profit. And that's when righteousness comes. Look what it says. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Now, you realize you're being chastened. You understand this comes in time in your life. By the way, we're still dealing with living in the imperfect world. Haven't gotten to insecurity yet and probably won't today. I know you're surprised. Lift up the hands which hang feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Yes, you may be hurt along your path. Yes, you may get hurt in this imperfect world. Yes, you may get hurt because no church is perfect. Yes, you may get hurt because somebody did you wrong. Yes, you may be hurt. But don't, when you're lame, turn out of the way, get yourself healed, and walk the straight and narrow path. Realize that Christ is trying to help you back to where he can use you again. You ever been like that? When you're unusable? Man. Has there ever been a time in your life when you are unusable? Think about that for a moment. That God looks down and he can't do a thing with you because you aren't doing a thing with him. Usually comes after chastening. Usually comes after, I mean, how many times you got spanked by, I hate you, Dad. That happens. But you got to realize, to be used by God, you've got to understand that he is sovereign. You got to understand that. See, that's the greatest challenge that we have as Christians, realizing that God truly is in control. Things happen that we don't understand, we don't like. Maybe chastening, may not be chastening. We got to realize, though, if you're being chastened, thank God you're his child. Thank God he's the one that's going to protect you. Thank God he's the one going to be the one that takes care of you. Wherefore, because of all those things, lift up the hands which hang down. I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. Lift up your hands. Straighten your feeble knees and walk straight. Straighten the paths for your feet. Get those obstacles out of the way. Lay aside every weight, because we've got people that went on before us that cleared a path for us. And yes, that path may today be overgrown. Yes, that path may have things in the way. Yes, that path may have pitfalls and things that are going to come in your way. But glory to God, there's only one path that Christ wants us to walk. There's only one way that Christ wants us to go. And we are not afforded the excuse to say, I'm going to walk over here. We ought to be walking the straight path. We ought to be walking Jeremiah's old paths. That's where we ought to be walking. We ought not walk the paths of drum sets and rock and roll music. We ought not walk the paths of having Vampire Diaries shown up on our movie screens. We ought not to walk the path of having Eclipse, all these other crazinesses being played on our TV sets and letting our kids be indoctrinated with the fact that it's okay to suck somebody's blood. It's the most gross thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And here's the funny thing, it's getting serious. I mean, you can see a little playtime. I don't know who would want to play with vampires, you crazy people. But I can't imagine saying, what's okay. Go see the vampire because the two guys are cute. Vampires and werewolves used to be horror films. Think about this for a minute. In the old days, I'm almost done here, but this is good. In the old days, vampires and werewolves used to be bad. Right. They were the enemy. You see a vampire, they give you three ways to kill the dirty, rotten thing. Right. Couldn't wait to kill one. You're really tough if you could kill something like that. Nowadays, they're saying, man, which one would you rather be a boyfriend to or a girlfriend to? Good night, you're a vampire. Which one's cuter? Do you ever look at the teeth of one of those things? And we're okay with it. We send our 13-year-olds off to see it. It's all right. Good night, it's okay, werewolf. Who cares? Whether they're make-believe or not, it's irrelevant. That's right. These kids today are turning it into real. Yes. And we stand by as Christians with our hands over our mouths because of the success that these things are bringing in their eyes. Oh, what's wrong, Brother Dave, with just doing this one little thing? Good night, have mercy, man. I mentioned last week, the top 10 books that are being sold right now, every last one of them, 100% of the top 10 bestsellers have to deal with sorcery, vampires, or witchcraft. These kids aren't reading these books as comic books, folks. Boy, that wasn't even in here. They're reading these books because they want to be them. They want to be vampires. Can you imagine that? Our children today desire these things. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. How in the world can we keep our mouths shut? We need to serve God more now than we've ever served God before. You say, well, I don't have many days left. It doesn't matter. Use them for God. I've wasted a lot of years in the wilderness of my life. I would to God I could get those years back. But that's what I can't get back is that time. But I want to redeem the time that I have left. And I'm not very good at it. But I desperately want to get better. And I think we as Christians ought to do the same thing. We live in an imperfect world, but we have a perfect Savior. Next week we'll deal with overcoming insecurity. One of the greatest battles we as Christians fight is being insecure. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we had together. Lord, please, I don't want to offend anybody. But Lord, if the truth offends, I want to speak truth. Lord, I pray that we as Christian people would find the place in our hearts to desire to serve you, because that's where it's got to start. Serving God is not a group effort. Serving God is an individual effort. We've got to realize that we as individuals have to hold up our rope. We can't rely on somebody else to hold it for us. Lord, help me. Help me personally to serve you. Help me personally to desire to be closer to you. Help me desire personally to win more souls to you. Help me desire personally to get more in your book. Help me desire personally to seek to be close to you. Help me desire to this myself personally. Oh God, help us today. Anoint my pastor. Lord, he hasn't been feeling very well. Lord, please make him healthy again. And, oh God, anoint him today. Anoint him that he can give us exactly what we're supposed to hear. And let us Be open to hear what God has to say today. Lord, please let us come to church today looking for a blessing. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll